somebody made the comment, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it, right? And they apologize for it. I know that sound, but there's no reason to apologize. That's the absolute truth. That is the absolute truth. You know, a lot of the problem that we have today, people are afraid to speak the truth to somebody, and because it might hurt their feelings, but maybe they need their feelings hurt. Maybe they need to hear the truth. Maybe they need to hear that master manipulation or trying to manipulate somebody is evil. You got God's will, you got man's will, and whose will is right? God's. God's will for your life. Not everybody's on the same path. Some people are on the path of money and the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And some people are on the path of peace. The Bible says to mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. So if somebody's trying to steal your peace and your calling is peace, what? 1 + 1 = 2, they actually are anti. They're anti. You know, when you face off with evil, and evil uses all kinds of fancy words, they're not even fancy words. They really can't convince you, but they try to manipulate and twist and change everything, and you're like, wait a minute, this person contradicts himself every conversation. Let's do this. But within the same conversation, I'm going to do this somewhere else. You know it's a game. You know it's just... Look, evil always destroys itself. Evil always self-sabotages. Because evil... would have to take notes on every conversation with everybody they're dealing with, and it would spend most of their time just taking notes. And they have a conversation, and you say, well, you're talking to that, what, you were talking to somebody else, you're not talking to me, we didn't talk about that, or you contradicted yourself, or you're not making sense. Or, why are you getting all emotional when something does not need to be emotional? Or, you're crazy. They just start to sound crazy. They get to the point where their mind is just out of control. You know, their mind is just gone. And you have to realize that it's their choice. Whether they're drinking or drugging or whatever, it was their choice. They made the choice, you know. Nobody forced it down their throat, you know. The mental games that people play, the evilness of people is so wild. That they think they can't be caught. If I tell you, and I do this every conversation or every day or every choice, we're going over here to this store, but you never go to the store, you never make plans for the store, but you're making plans to go over here to this other store. Would you trust? You wouldn't even trust that kind of person. I've had Uber riders that they'll say, well, I'm going here about halfway. Can you stop at this place? Well, they already had that plan from the get-go. Nah, I have to follow the app, you know. I have to follow the app. I'm not getting paid to do that. And they'll check. They'll ask why I stopped, you know. They will actually send a question why you stopped. My point is, they're making plans with you somewhere else, but they're making plans by themselves on something else. And everything out of their mouth is a contradiction. And you start to put it all together, all the pieces together, and you realize it's future faking. And so then they're future faking other people, so they forget who they're talking to. And they actually forget who they're texting. And so it just continually proves that when you're dealing with a liar, an evil person, they have to lie and they have to contradict themselves and they self-sabotage and destroy themselves because their heart's evil. And somewhere down the line, they thought it was okay to live that way. And so the only way they can survive and get, they have some kind of goal that you don't even know what it is. So they're manipulating whoever they can to get to that goal. And they think it's normal. They've embodied evil so long that they think evil is normal. And so when you embody evil to normalize it, most people will, the only people they're going to attract, think about this. This is what they're going to attract. So if somebody embodies evil, and other people want to embody truth, those two people, those kinds of people are diametrically opposed. They will not be together. So who are they going to attract? If they embody evil, they're going to attract other people who embody evil. And if they're a master manipulator, there's always somebody bigger than them, smarter than them, stronger than them, when it comes to master manipulation or anything. So they're going to attract their same kind of people, and evil destroys evil. Now think about that. Really, in your own way. Don't even have to follow my logic. You can think of it from any angle and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. An evil person is repelled against the truthers. A liar is an evil person. A manipulator is an evil person. And so they're not going to attract you. They're going to attract their own kind. And if they attract their own kind, they're going to be fighting each other with evil. Evil fighting evil. It always destroys itself. Because these people live in a win-lose mentality. They don't live in a win-win. They don't live in sacrifice. They want others to sacrifice for them, but they'll never sacrifice for you. And if they do sacrifice for you, it's only to try to train you eventually to sacrifice for them, and they never sacrifice again. That is the end game. To try to train you to believe and turn you in to that initial image, to turn you into that and say, oh, be like me. And then they flip the script. And they, the queen bee worship me, wants to be served, but they'll never serve. They'll never get up early to make your breakfast or your sandwich because you're working two jobs to take care of the household. They'll never get up early to help. They won't vacuum the floor. They won't wash the dishes. It'll just be no peace. They'll try to steal your peace. If you call them out on it, they get mad instead of just saying, okay. Knowing they're wrong. Why are you watching soap operas all day? Cut the soap operas off. Sometimes God gives you a spouse to keep you accountable to save your life. Go to the doctor. If a spouse loves you, they're going to remind you to go to the doctor, go to the dentist. Get up and get some exercise done. But if a spouse don't love you, and it's usually because they don't love themselves, they're not going to remind you, hey, go to the doctor. When's the last time you went to the dentist? And if you never had family do that to you, I'm sorry, I've experienced it. I know what you're I know what you're dealing with, because if you didn't have your family to remind you, hey, go to the dentist, go to the doctor, they didn't probably love you because they didn't love themselves. And you're going to have to overcome and realize that your family was dysfunctional and start to take care of yourself, because then nobody else is going to do it. And if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it because God says take care of your temple. If you don't have the unction or the gumption to get up and plan and take care of yourself, then do it because God loves you and God wants you to take care of your temple and God wants you to have a sound mind. Don't do it for you, do it for God. Because some people have been brainwashed from a child that nothing you say matters, that you're not... You know, I listen to every rideshare at work. I listen to everybody. I don't necessarily agree with them. And if somebody's just totally foolish, I cut them off completely. If they're master manipulators, I stay away from them. If they're narcissistic, I stay away from them. You can't hide narcissism, because narcissism has to leak out to where it's all about me, 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 me. Even in a conversation, they will overtalk you. They don't care what you have to say. They are right, and your opinion doesn't matter. Even if you're a scientist, even if somebody came in who was a physicist, they don't care. They have their opinion, and they're not going to listen. If you say, look, I've been doing this for 30 years, let's do it this way, and they don't even know what you do, and they made their decision to do it this way, they're not going to listen to you. Your opinion does not matter, because they've already made up their mind. They're narcissistic. Now, if it has to do with money or something, it's a different story. But there's certain ways you got to function and act down here, and if certain things that need to be done right, and if they don't want to do it right, might as well not do it at all, because it ain't gonna last. Apply that across the board, whatever came to your mind. Communication is the key to life. If you can't communicate, you're missing out. I'll say it again, communication is the key to life. And you might say, prove it. Communication goes back to common, goes back to communion, together, union. So the union with God, Jesus is the Word, commune. When you commune with somebody, you're in communication. When you're in conversation with somebody, you're in converse, together, turn. Verse means turn, con means together, with turn, together, turn. And so if you can't communicate or have a conversation, you're like in bizarro land, upside down land, confusion. In other words, the two will never, and somebody has to submit. If there's a disagreement, somebody's going to have to submit. And if it's the authority figure, they get the final word, unless the one who's under the authority has a better idea.
Can I take your order, please?
The authority figure must listen to what's going on under them, because if they didn't, why are they even there? But if it's something that doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. When somebody's not a good leader, and they always contradict themselves, why are they trying to lead? Pride or something. Ego, pride, something. I don't know. But communication is key, and... If somebody's always doing the talking, there's no need for the other person. And I didn't think these people still existed, but they do. They still exist. And when I see these people, I walk away. I didn't know these people existed still. And usually they're older, because the younger people listen and talk, it seems like. I'm not around the younger as much. But the older people still they quit listening. Even if you already know what's going to be said, you still listen to that person for kindness. Thank you. Sorry, I'm in the drive-thru. Even if a person already knows what's going to be said because you've heard it 1,000 times, you still listen to the person to be kind to them. And then you listen to any logic that they got that's wrong. You can actually redirect them and say, have you ever thought about this? And they'll say, oh, I never thought of it like that. So by listening to their logic, even though you already know what's going, where they're at, because you've already walked the path, you listen to them in kindness and say, maybe it's this way. Maybe it makes sense this way. Because there's multi-level thinking. If you just think on the service level and not ever on the lower, the higher levels or lower, there's multi-levels, right? So some people just think on the surface level and they never go to the root, which would be back to source. And then some people don't think about where it leads, where it came from. So their thought process, they don't think about where it came from and they don't think about where it takes them. So they just spur of the moment, blurt it out, and don't think about the whole picture, the big picture. They're just thinking about the now, you know. It feels good now. Well, you're not thinking about the future. What do you mean? It's really sad. The Bible talks about a wise man holds his tongue, keeps his mouth shut. But the foolish man just blurts everything. And that's why I say, I've listened to 50,000 hours, 40,000 hours in sermons, and probably total of 50,000 hours in my own study. So there's no way for me to throw out what I've learned through those theologians and all. It just has to come back to memory, like somebody's talking about something. Last night I was talking to somebody. I said, you know, this same question the theologians have discussed for 2,000 years, there is a solution, but they fight over it. And I forgot I even knew that. There's certain doctrines and certain truths that people have discussed for thousands of years, a couple thousand years. And so it's new to us, but it's not a new thing. And so it came back to my memory. And I was like, oh, I've seen this before. I've heard this before. This is actually a fight that's been going on for 2,000 years. And so there was a solution, praise God, hallelujah, but if something's new to you, it doesn't necessarily, well, it's 100% doesn't, 1,000% is not new. Like on the job, people say, blah, blah, blah. And I say, hold on a minute. I've been here, been doing this 11 years. We've seen this 1,000 times. Don't worry, there's a solution. What's the solution? We'll just put you in a new fridge. We'll just move you. We'll just put you a new refrigerator. How's that? Brand new. Yeah, that's great. So they were all mad and upset. Now you're going to offer them a new fridge and they're all happy. They were upset over nothing. The solution was there, but they didn't know it. You will be accommodated. Why are you been out of shape? Why be bent out of shape? It's actually a trip just to see how over time, over the cycles of time, you see the same stuff repeating. Like if you deal with a master manipulator today, you remember you dealt with one 15, 20 years ago, and it's the same stuff. And it's like, oh, haven't you graduated back to normal as a human?